why his presence is so strong. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you came to pray. We need your prayers. In fact, between now and the Olympics, we need your prayers very much. So I'm so, so thankful that you're here. I told you that we would come together and I would give you just a little teaching and then we would go into prayer. So I'm going to do that. Turn your Bibles, please, to James chapter 5. Before I read out of this passage, in the book of Genesis, it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord brooded over the waters. Do you remember that? When the Spirit of the Lord broods, all of creation somehow gets wrapped up in his brooding. He is brooding to give forth life, to bring forth promise, to raise us into the kingdom life, to raise the world into his will. That's why he broods. And the Spirit of the Lord is brooding over the earth. So that means everyone, everything is brooding with him. Let me pull up a scripture to help you on that. Romans 8, verse 20 says, "For the creation, nature, was subject to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who so subjected it, yet with hope. That nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption, and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children." Verse 22. "We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now." The Spirit of the Lord is brooding over the waters. And he's brooding over the peoples of the earth. He's brooding over all creation. All creation is brooding with him or moaning with him to bring forth what? The glorious sons of God. Now, is that amazing? It is amazing to me that God has created creation to help bring forth the sons of God. Now don't ask me how that happens. Don't ask me how it works. I don't know. We don't have to know everything. Only what the Bible tells us. Moaning together until. Now I'm not into some strange doctrines, so just let the Holy Spirit minister to you. What I want to say about this is you have a call. You have a call to pray. Whether you feel like praying or you don't. Whether you feel like you're called to be a person of prayer or you don't. Deep inside your inner man, the Holy Spirit groans with groanings too deep for utterance. Say that. Too deep for utterance. What does that mean? Too deep for utterance. That's what it means. We cannot hear it. We cannot feel it, but it is something that is going on all the time. 24/7, to bring forth Christ in you, to bring forth the adult sonship in you, to bring forth the maturity of times in you. He is there working. He is there groaning. You can't hear it. The groaning is too deep for utterance. What are you going to hear if he's not uttering? But he's working, and it's a promise to you that he's working, that he's breathing, pulsating life into you. Now you, if you don't pray and you don't agree with what he's doing, you're not going to much receive the benefit of it until you get to heaven. But when you join in the chorus of intercession that is going on, the Bible says that the Son of God sits ever at the what? Where? At the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? Ever interceding for you and me. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, groaning. Groaning's too deep for utterance. Why? To bring us into the will of God. We're assured we don't know how to pray as we ought. Isn't that comforting? But the Holy Spirit is praying. You say, well, how can I pray with him and pray his will if I don't know what that will is? Well, pray in the Spirit. That will help you. But pray. The more you pray, the more you find yourself connected, thrust into the river, flowing in the river of his will. Sometimes, if you're not praying, if you're not much of a person of prayer, he trips you into his will rather than allow you to stay out of it if it's critical. But how many things do we miss in a lifetime because we have not purposed ourselves to seek always his will? Now, let's go back to James. Let's go to the bottom of that verse. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic, and it's working. The implication is the call to righteousness, the call to obedience, the call to purity, which is what develops righteousness. Now, if you live for yourself, you live to do what pleases you rather than what is pleasing the Lord. If you live even for the world, then it's going to be very difficult to move with the Spirit of the Lord in this passionate prayer that God needs in the earth today. Authority comes through sanctification. Can you say that? Authority comes through sanctification. The deeper the sanctification goes in your soul, the higher the authority will be granted to you to intercede and to pray for those things that concern God. That means that you have to live for Jesus. You can't live like other people, not even other people in the church. You know, Paul said, I want no self-achieved righteousness, no righteousness of my own. but his righteousness in me. And that is the distinction between the church that likes to hang around Jesus and the church that wants to be one with the will of Jesus. Someone that wants God to abort all their own self-achieved righteousness. Remember when the man questioned Jesus, and Jesus, he called him good teacher. And what did Jesus say? Do you remember? No one is good except the Father. None. And so we have to come to a place where we're abandoning this need to be self-righteous. The self-righteousness hurts our walk with God. When we let it go, when we let God do what he wants to do in our lives to strip away the comfort of our self-righteousness so that we are correctable by the Holy Spirit, correctable by people if we need to be. If we are seeking his righteousness, which is so much higher, sometimes I feel so sorry for the disciples because Jesus is trekking them around all over Israel. And every time he turns around, he warns them against the righteousness of the Pharisees. And when they don't get it, he lets them know that he's not pleased. Here, the only righteousness that they've ever seen in their life is the righteousness that appears in the ways of the Pharisees. And Jesus is telling them, don't look at that as a model of righteousness. Look at me. Well, we can't necessarily achieve that high level of righteousness. We need him to do it in us, him to do it through us. We need to double yoke ourselves and, discipline ourselves to walk with him according to what we see in the Word of God. But he's the one that has to ultimately do it. But it is the impassioned, can you say impassioned? It is the impassioned prayer of the righteous man or woman that avails much, prevails with God. And why are you prevailing? Number one, the authority that you're walking under, because you're living righteously. Number two, because you understand the heart of God. You have drawn so close to him that you understand the nature and the character of God. So you better understand how to pray. Now, once you really, really hear from him, this is how I want you to pray about this situation. However he makes that known to you, once you really hear from him in that respect, your prayer is most likely, if you'll be faithful to pray it through, is most likely going to be answered. Number three, there is need for humility. If we do not walk in humility, we cannot bear the yoke of the burden of the Lord. We need humility for the inner strength to carry his burden. Sometimes you have to carry his burden for a long time. Sometimes you have to pray and fast and pray and fast and pray and fast. And it seems like that mountain is never going to move. You're sure you must be praying all the wrong prayers, and you're assuring that whatever it is you're praying about just isn't cooperating. And you're also partially sure that the Lord probably isn't listening. But the reality is, when you're praying his will, he will bring it to pass. he will. But to know and understand his will, often you really have to pray, or you have to walk so close to him, understand his word, to be able to discern his will. But once you discern his will over an issue, pray it until it happens. God will come through for you. Now tonight, I don't want to talk any longer, because what we have to do tonight is very important. Tonight, we're going to pray for England. There are those that are hoping to maybe get a few casualties in England during the Olympics. And I think we need to pray that God's going to intervene. I know that the British government, the British law enforcement agencies are anticipating the possibilities of terrorism. And there are going to be a lot of people there from all over the world. So my heart is burdened. I'm carrying a heavy burden for this situation in London. Also, we do want to pray some for America, because America is about ready to go through a transition, a very important transition that will bring forth, if God can have the intercessions of the saints, it will bring forth some beautiful things in the days ahead. But he needs our prayers. You know, what do you do with a ship without a rudder? Who has control? I see a lot of this, but who has control if the ship has no rudder? Do you? God needs, he needs to be able to guide this ship, this very important ship. There are a lot of people, even prophets, that say God's done with America, he's ready to cast us on the rocks. But I want to tell you the heart of Jesus. That is not true. And all the visitations that I've ever had, and I've had a lot, has he ever told me that he was done with America? Not yet. There's a great ship on the sea, and the name of that ship is America, SS America. And the rudder is there, and the rudder is the Spirit of the Lord. And the intercessors working together to bring that ship safely to harbor. There is one captain that is not going to jump ship, and his name is Jesus. So we're going to pray for America. We're going to pray for London, because we believe that God cares about both of these nations. He also cares about the many people that are coming in from all over the world to England to watch the Olympics. They're not there thinking they're going to sing their swan song. They're there thinking that they're going to enjoy watching families and friends do their thing in the Olympics. So we're going to pray over the Olympics, and we're going to pray over America. And I want you to do it in faith, because God is hearing our prayers. Amen. Okay, now if you like to pray the word, I want you to feel free to pray the word. If you just want to walk around and pray in the spirit, your prayer language, feel free to do that. If the Lord touches you with travail or weeping or groaning, I want you to feel free to do that. God's house is called a house of prayer. So we're not going to tell you here all the ways not to pray. I'm going to trust that you're here because you love to pray, you know how to pray, and God loves to use you. So I'd like you to feel free to get up, move around, If you want to sit still in your seat, you may. If you want to lay on the floor, you may. If you want to walk around, you may. And different people that I bring up will help us from the pulpit. So please, prepare yourself. Press in. Be passionate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your prayers. I don't know who was praying, but I had a vision. And I saw, you know, the sands of time, but the grains of sands represented sin. And I saw the Lord pick up a broom and begin to sweep away the sins that were keeping the doors of destruction open. So he's hearing us. I want you to keep praying this week. Then next Thursday, we're going to pray about it again. I can't tell you how critical this is. It's so very serious. I wish I could tell you so much, but I don't feel like I can. Just know, trust me, your intercession over the Olympics and over terrorism is extremely important. Come and join us next Thursday and let's get a complete breakthrough. Amen. Thank you for coming to pray. I'm going to turn this over to John. Just sit down with us for a few minutes. Do you love Jesus tonight? You know, the problem with praying is you get started, you don't want to stop.